has joined.
Good evening.
You're the first to arrive, and we'll be waiting.
Okay.
Angela.
Good evening.
Has joined.
Good evening.
We will begin. We are studying tonight the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Vayera. Section 20, and this is verse 286. We'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kudcha Barichu Ishkite Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Liakta Lashem Yudhe Babavhe Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La Sok Torah Mitzvah Laihino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maseya Dena Kunene Alena Maseya Dena Kunenehu Dina de Israel Mehaya Atar Dikti Vahigdal Awon Bat Ami Mechatat Sodom Vikre Yerushalayim Ahot Listom Kedavar Aheri Hine Zehaya Awon Sodom Ahote Bedin Chom Hawa Min Shamaya Dina Chada Is Sodom Aldemanu Sedaka Minayhu Bardada It Hapa Sedait Harav Eat La Tecuma Bedale Yat La Tecuma Alkane Citre Torah. The translation. The judgment upon Israel comes from that place as well, referring to the heavens, as it is written. For the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the sin of Sodom, where Jerusalem is called the sister of Sodom. As it is written, behold, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. And this is why their judgment came upon them from the heavens, the same judgment as fell on Sodom, because they refused to give charity. The only difference is that one was overthrown, namely Sodom, while the other, Jerusalem, was destroyed. The second shall be reconstituted, referring to Jerusalem, while the other, Sodom, shall not. This is the end of the Sitrei Torah. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Commentary by Bracha. Verse 286 ends this Zohar instruction about the heavens' decrees executed upon mankind, both upon the Noahites, Sodom, and Israel of Jerusalem, Hashem's covenant people, children. Both experienced total destruction as assigned from Hashem. The people of Sodom were removed from this earth by physicality, and their lands were left in ash and salt, where the soil would never be replenished for plant life, even today. Jerusalem was completely demolished, beginning with the removal of the 10 righteous tzaddiks of their time, who faced cruel executions from the Roman governing powers. The temple was destroyed completely, where there wasn't any evidence where it was once built. Hashem's covenant children were then exiled from the Holy Land for an indefinite time and experienced rejection from the 70 nations that they were dispersed into. The protection given by Hashem towards his children, his Israel children, they lived in their own communities apart from the Noahide world. This was Hashem's mercy upon his covenant children in exile. Blessed be our Holy One until the time arrived for the Israelite children to return home to Jerusalem to rebuild the Holy Land and the Third Temple. Today, the Israelite covenant children of Hashem have been returning to their Holy Lands of Jerusalem these last 72 years. The purging, the cleansing, and the purification spiritually is being experienced by every man and woman today, this very hour, beginning beginning with the house of Yaakov, which is the women, and the men of Israel, beside the Noahide world also. All human beings are involved in this unique cleansing, purging time, in preparation for the world that is coming. Many of the righteous ones of Israel, the Tzaddikim, have been removed from our world, as reported by Rabbi Anava, who had a second near-death experience a year and a half ago. He shared what he learned and saw what when he was taken from the earth, while being informed he had completed his own tikkun work and didn't need to return to the earth again. Yet he chose to return. His main message upon his return, that all Jews in Israel and in the diaspora are to do corrective teshuvah work by returning to their king, Hashem, and loving each other. They are not only to love the Jews from their own groups, but every Jew, regardless if this spiritual, if his spiritual practices as a modern Orthodox or a conservative or a reform or even non-observant. When all the Jews can do these behavioral corrective changes, personally and collectively, then the healing will unfold and the decrees are fulfilled and cease. That was Rabbi Anava's challenge to all of the Jewish people. Questions, comments, thoughts? No questions or thoughts, comments? Everybody's quiet.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
And it's probably controversial. And I will apologize if it offends anyone in advance. But what I have seen over the years is that more and more of the Jewish people that I know, they're more willing to forgive another religion for what they do than they are to forgive their own brothers and sisters. So how are we to develop, I guess, within ourselves a way to forgive our own brothers and sisters at the same, I guess, at the same amount that we forgive other religions? How do you do that?
The first step is to not judge others and recognize that it's up to us to love the other one. It's not up to them to approach us. By injecting unconditional love in every step with every person that you meet, that is how you teach them who you think are not loving other people, but they're willing to forgive other religions, when in reality, they're not really ready to even forgive themselves. And so when we recognize that the other person, when I'm pointing at the other person and saying they didn't learn, they haven't recognized what they're doing wrong, that I'm judging them. And when I learn to accept them unconditionally at the level that they are at, so they see the world differently than I do. That doesn't make them wrong. I have to realize that they're at the level that they're at, I'm at the level that I'm at, and we're both trying to improve. Sometimes they will improve, sometimes they won't. Sometimes I will improve, sometimes I won't. But the effort is what's important. Learning to love unconditionally is what's important.
Well, like I said in the beginning, I think what you said was very good. And like, I apologize if I offend anybody on this conference call, that sometimes it's hard to try and understand people.
You're absolutely right. It is very hard to understand people. And that's where unconditional love makes it easy. Because you don't have to understand them. You just have to accept them where they are. Now, that is a difficult thing to do.
That's what I was just fixing to say. Sometimes it's easier said than done or applied your knowledge to.
That is correct. But what we need to understand, not that we can understand it, but the basic issue is the adage is, if it was going to be easy, they'd give that task to someone else. Everybody has their own task. What is your task? Your task is to accept the other person at their level without questioning that they might be right or they might be wrong. They just are. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, that falls in line with an incident that happened today. We're doing some cement work at my house, and the fellow purchased what he thought was actually cement, and it turned out it was actually, because it had the same name as cement, it was actually playground sand. So he was all upset about it, and I said, not a big deal. We'll just go down to the lumber store and get the cement that you need. And so we did that, and I told him, I said, you know, everything happens for a reason. And so it's no big deal. So it's basically what you just said in the last, was you just kind of have to accept them for who they are and where they are and just love them and go on.
Correct. That's what unconditional love actually is. It's very easy to like the people of your community because they just feed you back the same answers you give them. It's when you can listen to someone else who has a different answer and evaluate for you, is that answer correct for me? That's when you grow. That's what unconditional love is. Listening to the other one tell you you're wrong. And then you evaluate whether that statement is correct or not. You don't have to defend yourself when you're evaluating it. You don't have to be reactive. Just go about your business and do what you know to be correct. Just listen to everyone. Learn from everyone. And strive to not judge the other one.
You know, we have a program where I am that's every year it's called Love Thy Neighbor as a Love Thy Neighbor is what it is. And everybody pitches in and everybody works very, very hard, you know, to make this all come about, this event. And I look, and yes, I guess I am judgmental, and forgive me for that, but I look and I see they can't even love their neighbor within their own, I guess, group. Yet they put on this event that's stressing love thy neighbor. So sometimes it's kind of a little bit complicated for me, but I'll just go on and do what I need to do when I need to do it and how I need to do it and who asks what I do. But it's kind of being hypocritical.
Oh, you know somebody who's not hypocritical? Do you know somebody who's not hypocritical?
No, even me. I'm hypocritical. Hypocritical.
Especially you, because what you see in the other person, what you've labeled hypocritical, you mean it.
Well, I understand that from the point of view that everybody, that something that you don't like about is your mirror. And so you need to step back and see what that is in your own self. But sometimes it's hard to evaluate yourself.
That's why Hashem sends you your mirrors. Much easier to evaluate the other person. But it's not a question of you judging him or you evaluating the other person. And therefore, you go about changing him or her. When you evaluate the other person, you apply it to yourself. When something happens, it is connected to what are you to learn? And if you don't ask the question, what are you to learn from this event, you're not loving your neighbor as yourself.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I will try to do better and try to do harder. But I'm going to stop buying Windex. Because if I don't buy Windex, then when I have a mirror that's in front of me, I can't wipe it off so that I can see crystal clear.
Well, it's always good to buy less Windex so that you can rub off the dirt rather than have the chemical clean it, and then it goes down the drain and you have all kinds of problems in the world.
Well, all I have to say about that is you're very clever. You always have a little bit better response to whatever I say.
It's not that I have a little bit better response. I'm listening to you. And then it's very easy to turn your words back on you. All I have to do is listen. It's one of the tools Hashem gave me.
Well, that's a very good tool. Because in this day and time, most people don't listen, including me.
Understood. We're out of time. So you all have a good evening, and Rosh Chodesh will start in an hour and a half or so. Maybe just about 2 hours. You have a good evening.
Thank you for listening, and shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.